I realized as I sat down this evening for the first reading that I had stepped on Monsignor Hunniger's line. So I'd like Monsignor, if you would please come, and, even though this isn't the proper moment for it, but nevertheless, better late than never.
Thanks. Well, as Pastor St. Joseph Parish, I just wanted to welcome all of you here from throughout the Archdiocese and from wherever else you may be coming this evening, daring to potentially get stuck in traffic because of the eclipse coming up on Monday and the crowds that are supposed to be converging here. So thanks for your courage and commitment, and we hope everything will be wonderful for you tonight and tomorrow and through the healing mass at 4:30. Of course, welcome Archbishop Sample this evening, and again, we'll welcome another bishop, Bishop Peter Smith, tomorrow evening at the 4:30 Mass. Also, all the others who have already been so graciously welcomed and thanked, and if there were any who were not thanked by the person who did the introductions before Mass, in the spirit of, you know, All Saints Day, the day for the rest of us, I want to thank everybody else here who in any way helped along the last several months and may be present here this evening for this wonderful celebration of 50th anniversary of the Charismatic Renewal in the Archdiocese.
Thank you, Monsignor. To echo Monsignor Hunniger's words, when I came here for confirmation earlier this year, it took me 2.5 hours on a Friday evening to get from Portland down here. So I left very early tonight figuring, well, with everybody traveling for the eclipse, it's going to be even worse. Thank you for your prayers. The team told me, the service team told me they had been praying that the roads would be cleared to Salem for this conference. In the 4 years I have been here, I have never traveled to Salem at this time of the day with less traffic than tonight. Especially on a Friday, I literally did not slow down once the whole way down. It was wonderful. So thank you for your prayers. And it is a great joy for me to gather with you as your chief shepherd as you begin this celebration this weekend of this 50th anniversary of this great movement in the church, this great movement of the Holy Spirit of which you have all been a part. What I want to speak to you about tonight, my dear friends, are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, you should be asking yourselves, which ones? Well, I want to speak of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the way that the church speaks of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And basically, we can break those gifts into three groupings, if you will. There are, of course, the traditional seven gifts of the Holy Spirit that all of us receive in our baptism and which are strengthened and poured out in even greater abundance when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of confirmation. Then there are the hierarchical gifts of the Holy Spirit that Christ gives to his church. Those gifts of the Spirit that reside in the whole church, but especially in those who shepherd and lead her. And then finally, yes, the charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are all gifts that God gives to his people through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So let's first look briefly at the traditional seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. I won't put you on the spot to name all of them. The only reason I was catechized in the 60s and 70s, and I never heard of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, let alone ever memorized them, but after doing I don't know how many hundreds of confirmations, they're right there in the ritual, so I know them. But I'm still going to cheat. The gifts of the Holy Spirit that all the baptized received and the confirmed are wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and the beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord. These are the traditional gifts of the Holy Spirit that are defined for us in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Now, the interesting thing to know about these gifts of the Holy Spirit is that they are meant for our own sanctification. They are meant for us. They are meant to strengthen us in our life in Christ. They are given to us to help transform us, to sanctify us, to make us holy, to make us into saints. The Holy Spirit is given to all of us to transform us and to remake us by that power that comes from the Holy Spirit. They're meant for us and to anoint us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit in order to be the missionary disciples that Christ calls us to be. So those gifts we all share. Then there are the hierarchical gifts of the Holy Spirit which are given to the church. The word hierarchical means just what it says. It means that there is a hierarchy of authority in the church. And Christ gives to his church these gifts to shepherd and guide the church throughout the ages. These gifts are given to the whole church, but in a particular way they are invested in the apostles and in those who succeed the apostles in office, the bishops of the church, in communion with the successor to St. Peter, the Holy Father. These gifts are given so that Christ can continue to lead his church. And we read about that promise really in the gospel tonight from the 15th and 16th chapter of the gospel of St. John. Jesus promises the gift of the Holy Spirit to the apostles. And he gives those gifts of the Spirit to them to lead them, to lead the church into all truth. The promise of the Holy Spirit. The promise that Christ would be always with his church because he will send the Paraclete upon the church on the day of Pentecost to lead her and guide her in the ways of the Lord. We have those gifts in the Catholic Church. These gifts of the Spirit that operate within the shepherds of the church to lead and teach us the mind and the heart of Christ, guided by the Holy Spirit. This is what it means to be a Catholic. It means to believe in the guidance that Christ gives to his church through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We can be confident that the church walks always in the ways of the Lord, never being led into error. When we look around all of those who are baptized in the world, all those who take the name Christian, we look at the ecclesial communities that multiply almost daily throughout Christendom. Where is the church that Jesus Christ established? Where is the church that he founded upon the apostles? Where is it? It's in the Catholic Church. We profess in every Nicene Creed when we recite it, one holy, Catholic and Apostolic Church. That's what that apostolic means. We are the church of the apostles. We are the same church that was anointed by the Holy Spirit in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. We're still here. And it is that Holy Spirit guiding her through the ages. So if we ever want to know where the truth is in this age of relativism, what Pope Benedict XVI referred to as the dictatorship or the tyranny of relativism, we need not have a relativistic faith because we know where to look for the truth. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. He told them elsewhere, he says, I have told you this much while I am with you. I cannot tell you everything because you could not bear it now. But when I go, I will send the Spirit and He will lead you into all truth. Be confident, my brothers and sisters. Not arrogant. Not prideful. But confident in your faith, guided as it is by the gift of the Holy Spirit in the church. That's why it's so beautiful that you invited me, your shepherd, to open this celebration with you tonight. Because that's what I represent for all of you, that promised guidance of the church. The Holy Spirit in the hierarchical communion helps the church, helps the shepherds of the church teach the faith, govern the church, and sanctify the people of God, especially through the sacraments. But then there are, of course, the charismatic gifts. The gifts that God pours out on believers. Special gifts. Gifts that go beyond the gifts we all receive in baptism and confirmation. Special gifts, special charisms that He pours out upon God's holy people. God pours out His gifts freely upon His people, especially in the service of the church and each other. And that's the difference with the charismatic gifts. Not everyone has all of the charisms. Not all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, these charismatic gifts, they do not all reside in one person. But God distributes those gifts freely among the people so that we are only complete when all of the gifts are brought together in the communion of the body of Christ, the church. St. Paul speaks of this when he speaks of this symbol of the church as being the body of Christ. Many members, all with its unique function within the body, but nevertheless each and every one a member of the body, and no member of the body is unimportant. St. Paul says, you know, the eye cannot say to the feet, we don't need you. Every gift is needed. Every individual member of the body of Christ, no matter how exalted or how lowly, is necessary in this communion of the church. And He pours out His gifts. And you who have been part of this renewal movement now for 50 years, you have been open to those gifts as Christ has poured them out upon you. And you have exercised those gifts. But the difference now is, those gifts are not meant for you. Unlike the gifts we receive in baptism, which are for our sanctification, for our growth in holiness and in the life of Christ, the gifts, the charismatic gifts, are given to individuals in service to others. They're meant for the church, not for you individually. So if you have special charisms, if you have special gifts, Don't get haughty and think yourself something really special, because they're not for you. They're for the church. They're for your brothers and sisters to build up the body of Christ in communion, in unity. This is the great, I think, genius of the Holy Spirit in initiating this great movement in this time in the history of the world, in the history of the church. You know, and I'm sure many of you, you know, don't, I joke about this, I'm sure you don't associate me with the charismatic renewal, given some of my reputation anyway. But my association with the renewal goes back to the earliest days of my priesthood. This was my first assignment as a parochial vicar in my cathedral church back in Marquette, Michigan. I was chaplain to the charismatic prayer group. And I worshiped with them at Holy Mass and celebrated Mass for them. I went to their prayer meetings and usually was asked to give a teaching. So I'm not unfamiliar with this great movement. And I can tell you, in the years that I first became conscious of the renewal, probably back in around the late 1970s, early 1980s. And I have to tell you, the movement has matured tremendously in these 50 years. The Holy Spirit has truly matured this movement so that it truly has become a stable, lasting presence in the church for the renewal of the whole church. You play a very important part of the renewal of the church. And don't ever underestimate the power of the Spirit at work in your lives and in this movement. It is a gift of the church. It is a gift to the church. You know, our holy fathers of recent memory have all spoken highly of this lay ecclesial movement in the church, under the guidance of your priests, that this is a work of the Holy Spirit. And be very, very grateful for the opportunity to have been a part of it. And you, as in a movement of charisms of the Holy Spirit, you work in harmony with the hierarchical gifts. And the Holy See, as you many of you might know, issued a document some years ago talking about this relationship between the charismatic gifts that God pours out and the hierarchical gifts of the church. And we work together. We work in communion. There aren't two churches here. And that's where the maturity has come. Because I can tell you, in the very early days of the movement, there was kind of that sense of, well, we've sort of moved beyond the institutional church. Never. You can't move beyond the promise that Jesus gave to the church, to be with her always through the Spirit. And so the charismatic gifts need to be harmonized and regulated and overseen by the hierarchical gifts. We work together in a great communion. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Division is never the work of the Holy Spirit. Wherever it rears its ugly head, division is never a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Unity is always the work of the Holy Spirit. And how do we know that the Spirit is active and alive in our hearts and in our lives? How do we know? By your fruits you shall know them. And so I want to conclude with a recitation of the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. These are the signs. If you want to know if the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, look for these signs, these fruits, and maybe even use this as an examination of conscience. I do. When I look at these fruits, I say, yeah, oh, I've got that one. I don't have that one. I need to pray. So I leave you with these fruits. The fruits of the Spirit are charity, love, charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, chastity. May the renewal continue to flourish in the church, and through you, may the fruits of the Holy Spirit be harvested in great abundance in the church in Western Oregon and across the river, too.